Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. American, all the chips in the PC. It is Saturday, the 5th day of April, Anno Domini 2000.
No. 14th? 5th. 5th, right.
Yeah,
10th. Yes, no, 5th. Whew. Otherwise, I'd have to do my taxes.
What?
Sorry.
Don't scare me like that. I'm not ready for the 15th.
I'm looking at my watch, and it's 12. So I'm looking up my watch, and it said Saturday, and then it had two different numbers behind the hour hand on my watch. And I said,
time to change the face.
I said, yeah, that can't be right. Unlock the watch.
Right. 5th day of April, Anno Domini 2025, no matter what Dennis says.
Nope.
And you confuse people.
Wouldn't even be a Saturday.
Exactly.
What am I thinking?
You're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Dennis Worcester.
And at 6 minutes after the hour, we're going to be bringing you news, views, things to cheers, nothing. Let's kick off your shoes. Don't get the blues. Have you paid your dues?
Ta-da.
Here comes the news. Before we do the news.
While I get a new calendar.
While Dennis figures out what the heck he's got on his wrist, because it's clearly not a watch with the date and time.
Yes, I'm temporarily challenged.
Yeah. I want to remind you that it is pledge drive time. We are in a pledge drive. Twice a year, we come to you for your help. And we appreciate every single one of you out there who has been both kind and generous enough to donate to this station and to this show. And we appreciate every one of you and thank you very much from the bottoms of our hearts. But we're back. We do this only twice a year. So it's time to head on over to jazz901.org. We're not doing phone calls.
Right. Phone donations.
This time, it's all online. So, and you're computer people.
That's true.
So this should not be as hard for you as it is for people who are pure jazz.
Right. Now, we will take your calls if you're having trouble making a donation.
Right. That will do, but not otherwise, no. So we need you to head on over to jazz901.org. There's a big red donate now button, very difficult to miss, and fill it out. It is very secure. I promise you it's secure, and more secure than putting stuff down on a piece of paper and moving it around. So that's good. And so when you do donate, please check the box for sound bites. And I hope that you enjoy this show enough and that you get enough good information from this show that you are willing to become a member or to renew a membership or to increase your membership. We'll take any and mm-hmm. all of those things.
That's right.
Every dollar helps. It keeps us on the air. And we're coming up on 34 years.
Yeah.
This September. So evidently we must be doing something right that you folks, even moving from one station to the other, you've followed us, you've That's supported true. Us, and we've got, which we can legally say, is very loyal listeners.
Oh, yes.
That enjoy what we do. I mean, we hear it from, matter of fact, just last week, somebody from, California called in because he had listened to us back when he was here in Rochester. And wanted to, get a question answered, and he knew we were here. And we were. And we were able to solve his problem. So, it's that dependability that you folks have come to rely on that keeps us going and on the air and keeps Rob saying, okay, yeah, you can stay another year.
And it's the kind of thing where no amount really is too small. Everything counts.
Every dollar,
every dollar counts. Every pledge counts. I know that there are times when it is difficult to make the size of pledge you would like to make.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay. A small pledge is better than no pledge.
Yeah.
Every dollar helps. Every dollar counts. I know that's a trite saying, but believe me when I tell you it's true. So please, if you can, please head on over to jazz901. And of course, you can do this all week. All those of you, there are hundreds and hundreds of you who download the podcast every week. Hundreds and hundreds of you. If each and every one of you joined at the $35 level.
Yeah.
We'd be done.
Mm-hmm. All right. So to those of you right now who are folding laundry, to those of you right now who are loading the dishwasher, to those of you right now who are doing yard work, we are talking to you.
Yep. Or if you're jogging.
Yes. Yeah. Walking the dog.
Not the people who are driving.
Nope.
Nope.
Unless you pull
wait.
Over.
You can wait. We'll catch you when you get home.
Yeah, everybody else. You've just got a phone. You've got a computer.
Add it to your to-do list that when you get home, that's the first thing you got to do is go over to your computer and go to the jazz901.org website and make your pledge.
You know, we've said parlous times before, but we mean it now.
Mm-hmm.
It's we need your help.
Yeah.
This is not a joke anymore. So please reach deep into your hearts and your wallets. And while you do that, I will read the news. In a survey comparing views of a nationally representative sample, about 5,410 of the general public, to a sample of 1,013 AI experts, the Pew Research Center found that experts are far more positive and enthusiastic about AI than the public, and far more likely than Americans overall to believe AI will have a very or somewhat positive impact on the United States over the next 20 years. The public did not share this confidence.
Okay.
Only about 11% of the public says that they are more excited than concerned about the increased use of AI in daily life. They're much more likely by 51% to say they're more concerned than excited, whereas only 15% of experts share that pessimism. Unlike the majority of experts, just 24% of the public thinks AI will be good for them, where nearly half the public anticipates they will be personally harmed by AI.
Mm.
While Pew could not ensure the sample was nationally representative of all experts in the AI field, which is very broad and hard to define, the survey represents a first step in gleaning how the people most committed to advancing AI view emerging technologies. Excuse me. People most committed to AI view emerging technologies today versus the average person. Learn to read. The fact that widespread adoption of AI is contingent on human trust. Of course, we're all interacting with AI every day as more and more devices and assistants are AI-powered. The problem is that it's been shown that many large AI models will outright lie if it helps them reach their goal. People who work in the AI field prefer the term hallucinate, but it's lying. But many people who use AI because they're too lazy to do their own research will parrot those lies, and the lies grow. For Americans, the future of AI apparently looks bleak, not because it possibly spells the end of the world, but because 83% don't think it will make them more productive and 94% believe it won't make them any happier. Only 13% of Americans think they'll ever get to a point where they trust AI to make a decision for them. So, our poll of the week at soundbites.org, that is Bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you, is... Most Americans think AI won't improve their lives. Your choices are, it already has. I think it will. I'm skeptical. And oh, heck no. So far, we've got 33 votes. And the more negative of the two, I'm skeptical and oh, heck no, are ludicrously far ahead of the more positive of the two.
Okay. So that's in support of this news item that you're reading.
Right.
That the general American public thinks.
Now, on the other hand, we're real, mostly. So give us a call. 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. That's after, of course, you make a pledge at jazz901.org. Hit that big red donate button and make the pledge.
So where do you fall on this, Nick?
I personally am in both camps. I use AI to look up weird things in programming languages.
Okay.
When, how do I do this in Python?
Right.
And sometimes
okay.
that works.
Right.
Sometimes it's a massive load of bullpucky.
Right.
On the other hand, I have rarely had a good experience asking it general questions.
Mm-hmm.
How about you?
I've tried it over the past year or so. When I need it to help me compose an email, like I'm about to write an email to my boss to tell me how to justify going to this conference that I want to go to.
Oh, sure.
And I'm not quite sure how to word things, or I'm not sure what structure to use. It does an excellent job of giving me a general structure of describing what to put where, and gives me reasons I might not have even thought of to do this. For those things, it's very, very good.
Now, before you go on, do you then just send it, or do you then edit it?
Oh, no. No, I edit it heavily.
Okay.
I use it as a starting point, not quite as a template, but just as an example to draw ideas from and to borrow from.
That makes sense.
That works really, really well. But no, every time I ask it a specific question, or if I do recall that I was asking it, show me an example of a computer program that I could use to solve a Sudoku.
Right.
And it said, oh, well, most people who do this kind of thing would use a backtracing algorithm, and they would do it like this. And I said, okay, show it to me in Python. And it said, okay, here's an example of it in Python. And I said, okay, show it to me in AppleScript.
Sure.
You know, just to pick a language that's way, way less likely to be out on the internet. And
right.
I said, okay, yep, I can do that. And I did it, and I took the AppleScript, I copied, I pasted it in the script editor, and I ran it. And it didn't work.
No kidding.
So I went back and I said, hi, yeah, no, it fails like this. And they said, oh my goodness, I'm so sorry. Hang on. What I think we should have done is done this. And then I take that back and I run that. And it also doesn't work. And
yeah.
I come back. I'm like, okay, so what are you good for, precisely? If I ask yep. you something that has a very specific answer, and you can't deliver it, and I let you know that you can't deliver it, and you can't fix it on your own, then at a certain point, it comes down to, I have to take the problem, I have to describe it in such detail that I might as well be coding it myself.
Well, because exactly.
If you can describe it to the level of detail that it would take to get this right, then you might as well fire up your code editor, because it's not that far off. Other than the syntax, it's the same level of thing.
Right. And I've done it with Python myself.
Okay.
And I get it when it comes, when my pro, I, so I do, you know, just to test, copy mm-hmm. paste, right? I understand if it comes back and says, you don't have this library.
Right.
But then I go look for the library, and that library does not exist.
Mm-hmm. There's no such thing.
There's no such thing.
Right.
It just thought, well, if this library existed, this is how you would write this program.
Right.
No!
So then I follow up with, show me the website where you think you learned this.
Yeah, yeah.
And it says, yeah, we don't do that sort of thing.
Yep.
I'm like, okay, then you're, you know, full of junk. I there's not much I can do.
Right.
If we can't agree on what reality looks like, then I think we're
too far apart. I asked it once to tell me about Nick Francesco.
Okay, I know that guy.
I have a lot of stuff out on the internet.
Yes.
A lot.
Right.
It came back and said I was vice president of the United States.
Wow.
And a whole bunch of things that I'd forgotten them.
Mr. Vice President, I was not aware.
Yeah, well, yeah, and I expect the hail to the chief every time I walk in.
Yes, no, the Secret Service has been well concealed.
They're secret. It's in the name.
It's in the name.
Pay attention.
Come on, you guys.
Yeah. So, yeah, AI is not where people think. It's certainly not science fiction.
No.
Right? Computer, project the trajectory of that missile.
Right.
That would work.
Right.
Because that's just math that they already know.
Or tell me how to make the best martini.
Right. They can go look that up somewhere. You know, Alaska.
Uh-huh.
Doesn't lie when she says, I looked this up, I found this on the internet.
Right.
Because that's how they all do it.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, or Apple, and Apple does that. Siri does that.
Yes, Shlomo.
Shlomo does that. She looks up. She will say, yeah, it's not Alaska, it's Shlomo.
But I had this thought a few days ago regarding AI, because I've been thinking about it. I've been listening to a lot of podcasts about it lately and trying to get a sense of where are we actually? I mean, there's where the tech giants project this going, and then there's the what's the reality on the ground for people, and then what are the tools available? I think these models can be specialized to work on certain kinds of problems and to aid in that. And they can be an excellent assistant for those kinds of things.
Right.
I think the general large language model tools that exist right now are great for general things, you know, like help me structure this type of communication I want to have, or hey, this jerk just sent me this email that has a million exclamation points in it. Can you summarize it for me and just tell me what he actually wants? Or things like that, I think it's very good at. I think the things that people are likely to want it for are not there yet and may not be there in the very near future. And here's all right. So that's all preamble to this statement. Do you remember the show Computer Chronicles?
Oh, sure.
With Stuart Chaffee that was on TV a million years ago, or probably 40 years ago.
Yeah.
He was involved with that show because the personal computer market was very in its infancy, and the general public was not clear on A, what they were going to use a computer for at their house if they wanted to, but B, they're really expensive. How do I avoid making a wrong decision about what to buy? And I think right now with AI, we are kind of in that same mode where people know it's important, people know it's likely to be a big part of their future, but they're still not quite sure precisely what they're going to do with it or precisely what value it's going to provide to them. And they definitely don't want to make a mistake if they choose to get involved. And I think history is repeating itself to a point when it comes to this. So we need some new Stuart Chaffees to come and talk about what to pick for what and why.
I agree with you. The reality is that it's in its infancy, but we assume it's mature.
Right.
And that's where we run into trouble.
Yeah.
So we've seen there was the famous example of the woman, she's a scientist, and people were calling her up and asking her questions about something that's not anywhere near her field.
Mm-hmm.
And she got 5, 6, 8 phone calls about this.
Right.
She finally said, why are you calling me?
Yeah.
And they said, well, I just found a paper that you had written. I was reading a paper on this subject, and you are referenced as one of the authors.
Okay.
And that you had written multiple other papers in this field.
Okay.
No, I did not. No, that's
sorry.
Nowhere near my field.
Wasn't me, yeah.
I don't do that. She finally traced it back to one reference that an AI program created.
Oh, fun.
And other AI programs picked up on it.
Right, right.
And now it's all over the internet. She can't get rid of it.
That's a big challenge.
And that's the kind of thing that AI is doing.
Well, that's like the story, you know, you tell a story around a campfire.
Yeah.
By the time it gets back to you, it's not even close to what you started out.
Right. It's the game of telephone.
Well, and the disinformation seems to spread faster than truth, right?
Boy, ain't that the truth.
So,
who was it who said a lie can circle the globe before truth gets its pants on?
Yeah.
It might have been Mark Twain.
That sounds about right.
And before we go to the phones, did we mention that it's Microsoft's birthday yesterday?
Aww.
Microsoft is 50.
Wow.
Mm. 50 years old. So those of us on Windows 3.1, we're pretty old.
Yeah.
All right, to the phones. Our first caller is Andy from Greece, New York. What's up, Andy?
I've been listening to your discussion. The problem with this whole thing is we're calling it artificial intelligence. There's no intelligence. It's just a really fast search engine with a ginormous database attached to it.
Essentially, yeah. I mean, it does make connections between things, but that's okay. So one thing,
there's no intelligence to it. It's just really fast.
Right.
And searching and that kind of thing.
Right, and
it artificial intelligence, we expect it to have some.
Right. No, yeah. I agree with you. I agree with you. The reality is that we do databases really well. We don't do connections really well. I mean, as computer scientists, as humans, we do. we make connections all the time that are more accurate than not. That's a survival trait. We bred out the bad deciders a long time ago. So most of our decisions are good ones.
The people that want to pet lions. Yeah.
Exactly. There are very few these days, which is why we see them on the news. They're rare. You don't see a lot of news items of people petting cats.
True.
Because they do it all day.
Right.
But when it comes to making those decisions, making those connections, that's where AI is in its infancy. And you're right. We shouldn't be calling it intelligence. I'm not sure what the correct term is. But AI is the term that has stuck, unfortunately.
Yeah, well, everybody, you know, we've all watched enough science fiction movies, some good, some bad. But there's a certain expectation, and unfortunately somebody glommed onto the name and now the expectations go along with it, and it's not there yet.
Yep.
It's not even close.
Yeah, no, it's a set of tremendously organized and complex conditional statements, right? If this, then that. If you see this thing and it matches this, then do this other thing.
Yeah, it's basically a condition tree, but
tremendously complex.
Right.
But I think Andy's got a great point that what we name things and the words we use to describe things go well beyond the facts and reality and go into what people's imagination of that language represents. So when we use terms like intelligence, that has, as humans, that has a really strong connotation. But and marketers know this.
Yep.
That's literally their whole profession, is how do we elicit or how do we communicate this type of thing using language? And, you know, it's a challenge. When you think about, I remember to the 90s, do you remember the term fuzzy logic?
Oh, yes.
So I'm not sure we hear much about that anymore, but it was the idea that instead of those comparisons you can do where this equals that, you could say, well, if this is sort of somewhat near that, then you know, consider this other thing.
Well, and that's kind of what AI does too, right?
To a point.
The theory is it makes connections between things that aren't really connected.
It's a statistical a table of a graph of relationships, yes.
Right. And we just don't have that right yet.
And it's, it's extra super fancy autocomplete, really. Where it's, you know, on your phone when you type a word and it tries to suggest, oh, the next word in that text message you want to send might be one of these three.
But I don't understand is why it lies.
Well,
it's trying to provide you with an answer.
It's solving.
Its goal is it knows it has to provide you with an answer, so it finds something.
I would rather it says, I don't know. I would rather it does that.
That's the marketing thing.
The model is not sophisticated enough to recognize. You know, it would rather go with the 10% correct likely answer than the 0% answer. Like, I imagine in the future there's probably going to be a threshold where you can say, I only want responses that are this statistically significant. And there probably already are, you know, sliders that you can set for this type of thing.
Yes, and I would much rather it says this information is not in my data set as opposed to I'm going to lie about this now.
Right. Well, a lot of the data sets stopped after, 2022 or something. So if you ask it who won the Super Bowl in 2023.
Right. Well, it depends which model you use.
It may.
What company and what model. And of course, you know, there's a lot of free stuff out there and a lot of paid stuff that the real researchers are using. But again, you know, you can't use it to replace research. You can use it to guide your research.
It's an excellent assistant.
Right. But it is not going to replace your research. You know, you're not going to say to it, computer, go out and get all the references to X. You can ask it to bring some stuff back, but not all of it is going to be real.
Right.
So you still have to do your research. All right, we got to take a break. Thanks, Andy.
I'm gonna say goodbye.
We're going to take a quick break, back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Dennis Worster, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It's 29 minutes after the hour. You're listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe. That would be Sound Bites, right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Computer talk you can understand. More Sound Bites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Dennis Worster.
And at 34 minutes after the hour, we are Sound Bites. If you called in during the weather, call back.
Please do.
Dave would only do one thing at a time, and that slowly.
Yeah, I mean, I got the board. You know, people, it's like they get impatient just because I put them on hold or I don't answer immediately.
Right.
Dave, we got other stuff going on here.
Right. And Dave doesn't multitask as well as he used to.
No. Well,
no, that's true.
We'll say that. All
He's
right.
Slower.
Well, you call in, I'll read the news. France's competition regulator fined Apple 150 million euros, which is just over 164 million U.S. dollars, saying it went overboard in its implementation of pop-up messages that let users consent to reject tracking that third-party applications use for targeted advertising. France said the App Tracking Transparency, or ATT, framework used by Apple on iPhones and iPads since 2021 makes the use of third-party applications too complex and hurts small companies that rely on advertising revenue. Apple has released security updates for the latest stable iOS, iPadOS, and macOS, addressing numerous security flaws. At the same time, it released security updates that backport fixes for actively exploited vulnerabilities that were exploited as 0 days in older versions of its operating systems running on older iPhones and Macs. This is unusual in the industry, and we applaud Apple for it. Apple recently released its highly anticipated iOS 18.4 update for iPhone users, which includes new emojis, AI goodies, priority notification, and several changes to CarPlay. Unfortunately, those changes seem to be doing more harm than good for some, and we're seeing several complaints that CarPlay is nearly unusable for some people. The iOS 18.4 update was supposed to finally fix some major CarPlay problems, especially for EV owners. It's great that this release had a huge breakthrough that made it so users can now have three rows of icons on the home screen, because that's the important part. It also released a bunch of connectivity issues and glitches to vehicle. The complaints are coming in from everywhere, and they're not limited to a specific brand of vehicle or stereo receiver. Users on Reddit are reporting CarPlay bugs in cars from Audi, Chevrolet, Mazda, Ford, Honda, VW, and others. The fix will likely require an update to the update. Apple Messages app got some big upgrades in iOS 18, but one of the biggest potential impact, RCS support has had a slow rollout among some carriers. Fortunately, in iOS 18.4, Messages is bringing the feature to a lot of new users. So are you impacted by any of these? And then there's the phone, the watch, yeah. Incorrect watch issue.
Right, yeah. No, I looked that up just trying to figure out what was I thinking, because I definitely saw it say something 14th of the month.
Yeah.
As I looked at my watch, as you were saying, no, it's you know, today's date, it's the 5th. And I turns out, through Googling and being curious, I was able to find out that there is a bug that when your watch is locked, it shows the default date of when you applied the last watchOS update, which for me was October 14th.
Interesting.
So, when I looked at it and said 14, which, admittedly, I was not entirely keeping track of what day it is anyway.
Right.
Quite apparently. And then when I unlocked it, it went back and said the 5th. So, yeah, turns out I got bit by a bug, but just did it in a very public forum.
Well, how about you? Have you been bitten by any of these issues? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. But before you do that, please, we are in a pledge drive. Twice a year we come to you for help. As I've said many times, we get no federal support. We get no state support. All our money comes from you. When we say member supported, we ain't kidding. So do I have two sheets of paper or just one? Apparently I just have one. Okay.
Oh.
Please.
Please pledge so Nick can get more paper.
I need more paper. we need your help. The reality is you've seen changes in this station over the last year, and that's because we did not raise enough money. More changes will be coming if we don't raise enough this time. So please, if you like what you hear, even if it's just this show, even if all you do is tune in once a week, what are we worth to you? on a weekly basis? Are we worth $2 a week?
Yeah.
$3 a week? $4 a week? That'll tell you what level you can pledge at on a yearly basis. And do not forget, we also have Pledge-O-Matic.
That's true.
Every month we take an X amount out of your checking account. You decide the amount, and we only do it with your approval. We don't just randomly reach it. Could we do that? That
would save so much time.
Let's ask AI. Yeah. Anyway, the thing is, once a month, we then, for a year, take out from your checking account the amount you have donated. You have decided to donate.
Yes.
So let's say you decide to do $5 a month. That's $60 a year.
Yep.
The minimum is $10 a month.
Okay.
Because of fees and all the other nonsense.
That's so what makes it make sense for us, yeah.
Right, so it's $120 a year.
Okay.
But $10 a month is a lot less than $120 in a bite.
Right, and that's only, what, $250 a week?
That's only a couple of bucks a week. So, please, head on over to jazz901.org. Hit that great big donate, big, it's red. It's a big red donate now button. And donate. And for those of you who are listening during the week, the pledge drive is still on.
Yeah.
We need you to donate. We need your help, and we need it right now.
That's true.
So stop whatever you're doing. You're carrying a phone with you. Take 2 minutes out of your life, and literally 2 minutes, and join the family. Become a member of the Jazz 90.1 family. More importantly, become a member of the Soundbites family. And it's real easy, jazz901.org, in order to do that. It's simple, it's fast, it's easy. And Lord knows I like fast and easy.
Yeah.
It works for me.
And the other thing, and you know, all of you folks that are out there listening, the countless times that folks have called in and said, you know what, really appreciate you guys being there and helping me out. You've solved this problem or helped me with this one,
right,
and saved me a lot of money. And again, we're not looking for a lot of money, just even a few bucks. There is no wrong amount to give because it just adds up and gets us to our goal.
That's right.
Which is modest by today's standards and what's going on in the world.
Yeah.
You know, the little bit that we need to stay on the air and give you this free information.
That's right.
We don't get paid.
What?
Yeah. Still, 33 years later, we're still begging for money and we haven't seen a penny. And you know what? That's okay. We enjoy doing what we do. That's why we give up our Saturdays. Think about it, folks. Well, you folks are just leisurely getting up, you know, on a Saturday to go shopping or do this or do that.
Throughout your
We're day, getting yeah. up, saying goodbye to our families. For me, it's like, all right, I usually leave the house around 11 o'clock. I got to get ready before that. And I don't get back home until around 3, you know, 2:30, 3 o'clock, depending on traffic and what else I might have to do. So there's most of Saturdays shot. As far as doing a lot of stuff or activities outside and everything right. else.
This is a choice. This is the choice that you've made to do the thing you want to do.
And I've made that choice just like Nick for the past 33 years, giving up my Saturdays to come here, not getting paid, but to give you folks computer advice. So please, like you said, just pick up your phone, go to that website while you're listening to the show, and make a pledge. There is no wrong amount.
And it only takes a couple of minutes.
Right.
You know, we've had very, very large pledges, and we've had very, very small pledges. And we appreciate all of them. There's no point at which we look at a small pledge and turn up our noses. We are grateful.
Yeah.
Because not everybody can afford a lot.
No, that's true. And the thing is, to get the access to three people who have a significant level of knowledge in this industry, and to get it for $10 a month, is an incredible bargain, really, if you think about it. If you don't think so, try and hire a consultant and tell me what they charge, and I guarantee it's not going to be $10 a month.
That's right.
Or whatever amount you choose to give. But the value that we provide versus the amount that you could supply is a tremendous bargain.
Yeah, because that's the one key thing here. We don't ask, well, how much did you give? The only thing we ask is, you're a member or a non-member? That's the only thing. There's no dollar amount attached to that whatsoever. We don't care about that.
Right.
All we care about is that when, and we love it when folks say, yeah, I'm a member.
Yeah. Be sure
we
and tell
love
us
it.
When you call.
You know, it doesn't matter the dollar amount. You care about the show and you're donating. That's the bottom line.
Yeah, for sure.
So please, head on over to jazz901.org. Hit that big red donate now button. Fill out the form. There's a section in there that says this donation goes to Soundbites. Make sure you click on that one. Check that box, and we're on our way. And so where else are you going to get this kind of information? You may have been looking at your Apple Watch and thinking, the heck?
That's not right.
That's not right.
Let's call the guys.
Not knowing what to do about it. Dennis has given you the answer.
Yep, it's true. I'll tell you one thing. In my career so far, I think the number one thing when I interact with people, when I interact with coworkers, when I interact with clients I've had over the years, the number one thing that I'm good at compared to those people is I am very good at Googling things.
Oh, it's Google foo. It's like Kung Fu only for Google.
I've developed a skill. I've developed the ability to look at the results, realize when it needs to be refined. You know, it's all these things that AI can't quite do yet.
Right. Mm-hmm.
This is the value that I provide. So I can, during literally the break while we were, while y'all were listening to consumer
tips
and thoughts about where to shop and what to buy and news and weather, I was looking for these things, and I can usually find those answers pretty fast. And you have access to my capabilities by when you call this show. So,
yep.
And my esteemed co-hosts here are also similarly knowledgeable and have experience and understand not just what are the answers for the things today, but how does that relate to the situation as a whole, or how things have progressed over time, and what can we do to figure out if this makes sense to try now, or what makes sense in terms of I've got a computer that's 4 years old. Should I consider replacing it? Or I'm considering getting into this new hobby. Which things should I consider? You have access to a team, a secret team of advisors. Well, not so secret. We're on the radio for goodness sake.
Yeah.
But you have access to us, literally a phone call away once a week, that you can ask nearly anything you want, and we'll do our best.
And it used to be that we were all computers.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
And in the beginning, we were all PC.
Yes.
Then Macs came along on the show.
Right.
And now we do Linux, we do Chromebooks, we do phones, we do a ham radio.
Yeah.
We'll do, you know, and when Steve is here, we'll do airplanes.
Sure. Raspberry Pi.
Model airplanes. We do Raspberry Pis. I mean, all of this stuff.
Consumer electronics.
Consumer electronics in general. And it's not just, can you answer a question about my phone? It's, can you relate how that answer and my computer interact?
Yes.
Because often the problem is not the device. The problem is the interaction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we can do that for you. We can help you with that. But we can't do that if we're not on the air. And I'm being honest. The only way we stay on the air is if you make that pledge. Head on over to jazz901.org and make that pledge now. We are, our goal this drive is $70,000.
Okay.
We're only at $23,000.
Okay.
That's a third of the way.
About a third. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And we would prefer to be halfway done.
Yeah.
One of the things that we do with these pledge drives is when we hit our goal, we are done.
Yes.
Yeah.
So if somebody donated $70,000,
mm-hmm.
and we are open to that,
sure,
the pledge drive would end.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't want to hear us begging next week, because I hear that all the time, oh, I don't listen when you guys beg, then pledge. And yeah. the begging stops early.
Gets us off the air that much faster as far as the topic that we have to talk about.
That's exactly right.
I mean, it's just bottom line, you know. I mean, got to have the money to stay on the air.
And it is not impossible, and I know everybody scoffs when I say this, it is not impossible that this show could go away. It is very possible. Mm-hmm. There are programs that could come in to replace us that would actually bring money into the station.
Yeah, and then people will be saying, hey, remember Soundbites?
Remember Soundbites?
Mm-hmm.
What happened to Soundbites? What happened is you didn't pledge.
All right.
So, that's
the truth.
There we have.
Yep.
So make that pledge. Head on over to jazz901.org. Hit that big red donate now button. Make the pledge. It's not that difficult. And believe me when I tell you, you'll find that it's quick. It's quick. It's easy. It takes a couple of minutes. That's all. You know, you can do it while your coffee's percolating.
So what's going on with Google?
Who percolates coffee anymore when your coffee is dripping?
Yes. So what's going on with Google these days?
Oh, Google. Well, we could read a second news segment, which leaves us short, by the way. So I will hold the news for Google. But I wanted to talk a little bit more about Apple.
Okay.
There is that 1804 update. And
18.4, yes.
18.4 update. And what people are... Well, every news item I saw touted that there are 8 new emojis.
New emoji, right. Yes.
And plural of emoji is emoji. I get that. And I actually understand that.
Okay.
Because when a device, and this is not just iPhones, but all of these phones and computers and everything else, when they already do everything you want them to do.
Right.
And they do it pretty well.
How do you...
What's left is, hey, look, we have 8 new emojis.
Right. How does Apple put a carrot in front of you to want you to get fetch the new update, right?
Exactly. And, you know, I joke about it. I make fun of it. I mock it. I admit that. But the reason it's happening is because they're already so darn good that you don't... What are you going to say?
Right.
That's the whole thing behind AI. What don't I have in my phone? AI.
True.
So let's get AI in my phone.
Right.
And so I understand that's why it's done, but it does make me laugh every time. We have 8 new emoji. We have Apple did it. Google did it. We have the your mic is on. They went to material. The material design and the icons got round instead of square.
Right.
It was a huge deal. It was a huge deal.
People lost their mind.
Oh, people lost their mind. And the reason is, of course, because it already does everything.
Right. This is the level that we have to worry about, right?
Right. When what we're worried about is round versus square or 8 new emoji.
Yeah.
Our devices work pretty doggone well.
Remember when the iPhone first came out and people complained that it just simply wouldn't complete a phone call?
Exactly. We've moved just a little bit farther along with that.
Oh my goodness.
You've got to realize that we joke about this stuff. Ooh, 8 new emoji. But the reality is that it's only because they're so doggone good. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Steve from Mendon, New York. What's up, Steve?
Hi. I've got a question. It's actually about MIDI.
Okay.
Sure.
Okay.
Musical instrument device interface for our listeners.
Yep.
Yep. I have a MIDI instrument that I play.
Okay.
And I have tried several times to hook it into Windows, the latency is horrible.
Okay.
So that doesn't work. And I've been trying to understand what it is that I need to make it work. Do I need and I know there's something called a sequencer, but...
Well, all right, let's back up a couple of steps. Which version of Windows?
11.
Okay.
Good.
That's good.
And can you tell us what instrument it is?
I play the Scottish bagpipe.
Okay.
Nice.
There is a MIDI bagpipe?
There are I can think off the top of my head of, I think, five different brands of MIDI bagpipes.
See, this is why I come to this show. On no other show will you learn about Scottish bagpipes that are electronic, fantastic. Thank you so much for telling me about this. I had no idea.
Now, you know what I'm going to Google a minute I get home after the show.
I'm going to be YouTube videoing this afternoon.
Oh, it's going to be a whole afternoon.
All right. Okay.
All right. Let's get into this. So now, how are you connecting it to Windows 11?
So the particular instrument that I have has a MIDI output that comes out through a USB port.
Okay.
And so I hook that into a USB port on my computer.
Okay, good.
And I'm relying on the sound card or whatever software there is in the instrument to do the conversion. So
right.
I know I have a program that I think it's used to be called Cakewalk. I think it's called Band now.
Okay. I remember Cakewalk from years and years and years ago.
Years ago, yeah, yeah. So I think they created more or less an open source version of it or something that is called Band.
Okay.
And when I try to play with it, you know, the latency is like, you know, 200 to 400 milliseconds. It's
okay.
Really, really long.
So almost half a second.
Yeah.
All right.
So
what I'm wondering is there an outboard or a device that I can stick in between? Is that how MIDI is normally done? Tell me how to do this right.
Yeah. All right. So let's start with the USB you're connecting with. Is it USB 2 or 3?
3.
Okay.
Okay.
That should be plenty.
That was the wrong answer.
Yeah.
A real simple answer for you.
No, MIDI has been around forever, and in ye olden days, in the 80s, it was done through a set of serial cables, and
right.
The amount of information that's coming across MIDI is actually pretty small. It's what key is being pressed, with what velocity, and so forth. The data itself just is pretty bare bones, so USB 3
right.
is plenty for that.
Sure.
So, what do you know? What sound card you have?
I don't remember. I know the computer. It's an Asus computer with the sound
okay.
card built into it.
Got it.
Okay, so my thought is the problem is the sound card. It's just doesn't have enough oomph.
Well, yep. Maybe.
To do the job, if you could.
How much memory in the machine?
12 gig.
Okay.
That's yeah, that should be
considerable.
I gotta go with the sound card. I think it's just got not enough oomph to
so
do the.
What is it? Let me ask this question. Where does the conversion from data to actually applying the bagpipe waveform, where does that occur? Is that in the sound card?
No, that happens. Well, the application where the instrument, the virtual instruments live, the sounds
yeah.
that the virtual instruments make, those live within the application, usually in a set of libraries, and you can usually use a digital audio workstation. Computer,
yep.
and you can load different versions of, you know, you can play the bagpipe and have it come out as a guitar, or you can play the bagpipe and have it come out
right.
as a piano.
Exactly.
And the conversion from which holes are you covering in your bagpipe to what does the sound that comes out of the speaker, that conversion happens in the audio software itself. It takes the information in from which key is being pressed and how hard was
mm-hmm.
it pressed. And it converts that into, all right, that means play this sound at this velocity, at this volume, out. The,
right, so all that occurs before the sound card, right?
That occurs before the sound card is converting that into something to play out the speakers. So
right.
there are, one thing that comes to mind is that there are interfaces that you can use to connect. And I'll continue to do some research on this during the break.
Yeah, don't hang up, please.
Okay.
It's going to be a fairly longish break, but don't hang up, and we'll come back to you and talk more about this on the other side of the break. But we are now going to take a short break, We will be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Dennis Worster, Steve from Menden, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 59 minutes after the hour. You are listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe, Soundbites. We're in a pledge drive, so this is the perfect time for you to head on over to your computer, go to jazz901.org, hit that big red Donate Now button, and make your donation before we even come back. It's fast, it's lightning quick, it's easy, it's convenient, and we will see you in just a couple of minutes on the longest-running computer show in the known universe, Soundbites. Yeah.
Before you call into our show, please make note of the following rules. 1. Turn your radio down. 2. Turn your radio down lower. 3. Remember, nobody has invented a good-sounding speakerphone yet. Don't use them. 4. Make sure you have a point. It makes for a more interesting show. 5. Calling does not guarantee you'll get on the air. No whining. 6. If you do get on the air, please do not tell the host what you just told the screener. We don't care. And 7. Is that radio turned down yet? We hope this will make for a more enjoyable program, and we thank you for your time.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
WGMC Greece Rochester, a public service of the Greece Central School District, Jazz 90.1.
Online at jazz901.org.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Dennis Worster.
And at 5 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites, and we have Steve from Menden still on the line. So, Steve, let me ask you one other question. How fast is your machine? What processor are you running?
Okay, I don't recall. I know I built this machine about 3 years ago and put the top end of everything in it. So.
Okay.
So one of the things that many musicians use when they're working with instruments and they want to connect them to their computer is they will use what's called an audio interface. And that is a device that you connect to your computer that then has buttons for volume and balance and so forth, and you connect your instrument to that same box. Those boxes generally are application specific, so they're specific for processing audio, and they usually come with what's called a low latency driver. That's a piece of software that runs on your computer that takes the information that comes from the interface and then applies it to reduce the latency that is in that tool chain, the signal chain.
Okay.
There's also, I know the Cakewalk used to have a latency test. I'm not familiar with the software you're using, but if it's a Cakewalk clone, there might be a latency test in there that will let you adjust the latency.
There's also a project, and this is one that you could probably do today and won't cost you any money to try. There's a piece of software or a set of drivers called the ASIO for all.
Right.
And you may have heard of that already. And those claim to be usable with generic sound cards, and in general, it's something you can do to help measure to see if those drivers might reduce the latency in that signal chain.
Okay.
Also,
I can certainly give that a try.
Yeah, also, the first thing I would try is checking that latency test, see if that's available in band, and if
the software that I'm using is actually called Band Lab. I'm sorry.
Oh, is that the online version?
Yes.
Okay, so I believe that has a latency test, and I also have to ask, who's your internet service provider?
Verizon.
Okay,
that may be your half second delay right there, but try the latency test first. If you overlay parts, does the latency get worse?
overlay parts to the latency get worse.
Yeah, so...
Oh, I see what you're saying. I haven't tried that.
Okay, okay. Because...
It's so awful in the first place that I can't play along with it.
No, I understand. I understand that. But that, again, that the there are... okay, so three fixes for that. Check the latency fix first.
Yep.
Then check audio effects, turn them off.
Right,
right.
And auto pitch and turn that off. Because both of those can add latency as well.
Okay.
They also say that now that I know that the name is BandLab, I'm able to work and get more specific results. They also say that there are some buffer sizes that you can adjust. But yes, they have a, in the studio app, tap the gear icon, scroll down, tap latency fix, tap retake the test and follow the instructions, unplugging your headphones, finding a quiet location, setting your volume. Then you tap start the test and you're looking for tests, you're looking for results in the 0 to 30 millisecond range. And then if you don't get that, you can manually adjust the latency compensation by moving the dot on the line to the left or the right. And then they talk about how to adjust buffer sizes, and you can look at audio updates and computer optimization. But yes, the more unnecessary programs you can turn off or close, things like antivirus tools or anything that might be scanning drives in the background or optimizing search results or other things that it might be doing. You really want the computer to be focused on processing this audio and shooting it out to the web.
And have you tried the latency fix already?
So I've been on and off trying to do this several times. Honestly, we were my wife and I were in the car doing some errands this morning, and I heard you guys, and it's fun drive time and remembers, and it was like, hey, I should call them up and ask them this question that I have about
No, I understand you haven't tried it right now, but have you tried it in the past?
I don't recall if I have.
Okay.
Okay, so definitely do that.
Made some changes since I tried it last.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely do that.
And thank you for being a member. I heard you mention that, so I really appreciate that.
Yeah, we appreciate that very much. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much for your help. I appreciate it.
Yes.
All right,
good
thanks.
Luck. And
bye-bye.
Call us back
take
with
care.
What you learn.
Yeah, please.
Okay, thanks. Bye-bye.
Yep.
MIDI bagpipes, man.
You know what I'm going to do this afternoon. You know it.
Who knew? I mean, I've heard about what they call EWRs, electronic, or EWIs, electronic wind instruments.
Yes.
And it sort of looks like a clarinet.
Yep.
And you play it, and you have places for your fingers, and you connect it to your computer, and it, you can make it sound like whatever. But the concept, man, I can only imagine. This is fantastic.
Now, the question is... Do you get the whole? Does he have a whole bagpipe, or is it just the chanter?
Oh, we're gonna find out, man. We're gonna learn so much.
Are we gonna learn so much?
Can you imagine?
You know, I don't. He's got to have the whole thing, right? Because he's got to have the drones.
I would think.
And the chanter and the bag itself.
Unless you just do the chanter and then. The MIDI supplies all the drones in the background.
And that may be where the latency's coming in. Now that makes a little bit of sense.
Hard to say.
All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Fred from Rochester, New York. What's up, Fred?
Hey, not a whole lot. Just joining you on your fundraiser.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
I got to tell you that I miss talking to a real person.
Oh, yeah.
No, I understand that.
We get that.
We had the lovely and talented Cheryl. She was wonderful.
Yes, she was so
but
nice.
But the reality is that it is much more secure to do it online than it is to give it to a person. Although Cheryl, we're not saying anything against Cheryl. She was perfect.
Absolutely.
But that means there's a piece of paper floating around.
Yeah, we don't want that.
And that's not good.
I've been doing this for quite a few years. I never had a problem with that.
Well, that's good.
I understand it. Your WGMC does not take American Express.
Oh. Okay.
Oh.
All right. Good to know.
That might be something that people should know, or maybe Rob can fix.
All right. So for the...
And,
Yeah. Okay. Good to know.
And a suggestion that, Nick, I don't think I've seen a book that you've written in a while. I'm looking for a concise yet comprehensive list of terminal commands for Linux Ubuntu.
Okay.
Okay.
Write the book. I'll buy it.
Yes, sir. I'm on it.
See, now that seems like something ChatGPT could come up with for you.
See, my problem is, I have no time. Life seems to be in my way, but I came up with a title yesterday.
Okay.
Which was, Why Pi?
Why Pi?
Yeah.
Okay.
All about Raspberry Pis, why you would want one, as opposed to, I have one, what can I do
now
with
what?
It?
Now what? Yeah.
How about ahead of time? But I like this idea of a set of terminal commands.
Okay.
Just listing each command, what it does, what it's good for, and good examples of each.
Right. A million years ago, there was a website that was called Enough Unix for a Resume that would talk
I love that idea.
Just enough to so that you could put it on your resume and say, yes, I've heard this and I've played with it. I think that, I don't know if that still exists or not, but if it does, that could be a good place to draw some inspiration from.
Yeah. Oh, believe me when I tell you, I get the inspiration just by constantly looking stuff up on
my
old terminal, so yeah.
There is a website. They send out emails. It's on Raspberry Patrick.
Okay.
Connected to Raspberry Pi, and I subscribe to that, and I look through some stuff, and it's just so convoluted and so much of trying to sell you something.
Yeah.
I get frustrated and shut it down.
Yeah, that's the problem with a lot of those things. They're really just ads.
Right. Yeah. So I've been trying to do more with the terminal.
Okay.
I can't type.
Okay.
But doing what I can do. So yeah, if there was even if it was just an online I could copy and paste.
Sure.
Or something of that nature would be sweet.
Sure. All right. That's not a bad thought at all. I will think about that and put it together. Thank you, Fred.
Made my donation for the at least this time of year.
Thank you, Fred.
I usually choose no gift because then the station can keep the money.
Perfect. You are right. A gentleman and a scholar, sir.
We appreciate that very much.
Love you guys. Thanks for all you do. Keep up the good work.
And love you back, Fred.
Everybody that's listening, dig deep.
Thanks.
Great job.
That's what we'd like to hear, somebody who made a donation.
Yeah, for sure.
I will take a look at that. I'm sure there are other books out there, but like you said, the problem with a lot of these is they're very convoluted.
Yeah.
They assume a level of knowledge that you don't already have.
Right. Right.
And I guess if you're willing to slog your way through it,
okay, that's fair. All
right. You gain that knowledge.
Right. And one of the challenges when you write these kinds of things is everybody comes at the desire to learn this from a different point of view, from a different perspective with different goals. And to write something that's general enough to apply to most people is difficult.
Yep.
But it often helps to try and find out. You might have different flavors of the same type of book. You might say this one is for people who need to process a lot of text, or people who want to install a GPT LLM on their local machine and not have to use the internet.
But we're talking about people who just want to get a directory listing.
Or get a directory listing and understand what the results look like.
And that's the other thing. How do you organize this?
Yeah.
You organize it by here's the most basic knowledge. And now that you have that, we can build on it in the next section.
Right.
And that's really, I think,
baby
the way
steps.
To do it. Yeah, baby steps.
So, yeah, you run the date command to see the current date and time.
Right.
And the concept of typing something in and hitting return and getting a result, right? You start with that.
Right.
And you kind of build from that.
Because you look at a lot of them, they start with, okay, let's create a cron job.
Yeah.
Well, whoa. We need to back up about 300 steps.
Yeah, right.
So, yeah, all right. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Jerome. From Pittsford, New York. What's up, Jerome?
Hey, guys. This is for Steve in Mendon.
Okay.
With the MIDI bagpipes.
Yes, please.
There is a website that I found called audioproductionroom.com.
Okay.
Which has a very long list of suggestions for reducing latency.
All right, reducing and latency, so go to
audioproductionroom.com.
And they talk about reducing latency. Okay.
Absolutely, and there's a huge long list of suggestions to track down the sort of issue that he's having. My feeling is that trying to do things audio in real time, if you've got a software step involved, it's risky. So right. You need to turn off all the other things that distract your CPU.
Okay.
Right. Yep. Makes sense to me. Okay. Thank you.
The other question I have is Rosetta.
Okay.
If you may remember that was this translating program that ran on some of the early Macs when they were going from PowerPC to Intel chips.
Yep. Yes, that's right.
Is there any equivalent of Rosetta 1 that's available for Linux or later versions of Mac? Because I have a piece of software from, it's a computer game from 1996 that was actually written for PowerPC, and it ran on Rosetta, but it doesn't seem to run on anything else past iOS 10.6.
Right. So 10.6 was when Apple started shifting to the Intel infrastructure, and that was the last time they probably...
They stopped supporting Rosetta 1.
Right. Short answer, I'm not sure. I'd say it's unlikely, but I won't say it's impossible. I would say that the computers, especially the Apple Silicon stuff these days, is probably powerful enough to emulate it. PPC emulation.
Did you say Linux at some point?
Yeah. Is there an emulator that will support, the PowerPC architecture or the stuff that supported Rosetta 1 that runs in Linux? I mean, there have to be emulators for almost everything. I just haven't found this one.
Something like QEMU.
Yeah, there's a thing called Pear PC. There's another one called Mac on Linux. There's one called Basilisk 2. I've not used any of these. I don't know anything about them. But they are emulator software. Theoretically can run many PowerPC operating systems, actually.
Well, here's a website that says how to emulate PowerPC or PPC 32 Linux in, well, all right. So they're taking a version of Linux that was running on PowerPC and then running it on x86 64. That's close, but it's not, I presume it's an old macOS game.
Yeah, the specific one is called Logical Journey of the Zumbinis.
Okay.
There have been ports of it later on, but they kind of lack the charm of the original version.
Sure.
Yeah. There it is. QEMU. QEMU.
QEMU.
Yeah. QEMU. What? How are you pronounce that? That also runs under Linux and can run and is a PowerPC system emulator. Now, generally speaking, these things create a PowerPC environment. So you would then run an old version of macOS, the PowerPC version of macOS on them, and then run the game in that. They are not an emulator for
the app itself.
macOS.
Right.
They're an emulator for the PowerPC architecture, so you could run a macOS operating system, the PPC version of macOS on that.
So I have to find an old version of Tiger or something like that to
run
on.
Right.
Likely.
So you would boot the emulator, you would then load up Tiger, for example, and then you would load up your game. So give it enough RAM and enough processing power to do all of that.
There is a website that might help. It's called Macintosh Garden. And they had older discussions of PowerPC games and even Motorola 68000 games that may be helpful, and they may have forums or other things that would allow you to look at things like that. There's another one called MacintoshRepository.org that may have details about how to run things. But QEMU appears to be, or Sheepshaver appears to be, the current tool to use in Linux that may allow you to emulate PowerPC architecture. And then, like we said, you probably have to go find a version of 10.6 or something earlier that will let you play this. We have to balance, like, how much effort do you want to put into this? It may be just as easy to try and track down original hardware and try and run it on the original hardware.
Right.
That's a possibility, too. Okay. Super. Thank you, guys.
All right. Thanks for your help.
Thanks.
Thanks for calling, Jerome.
Yeah, it does look like Sheepshaver is actually the...
I've used Sheepshaver on recent Macs to emulate old Macs enough to play the games.
Which is what he's trying to do.
And it works. There was an old game, again, from the 90s that was based on Star Trek The Next Generation, but it was written by just some guy.
Sure.
And he borrowed, you know, shapes of the Enterprise and shapes of other Romulan and Ferengi and other things, and made a really cool game where you had to take your Enterprise, go warp speed over to planets, and rescue people that needed to get off the planets before the enemies came and destroyed the planets. And you had to optimize things, and sometimes you'd end up in battles against the other ships themselves. And it was a lot of fun, but trying to find the several hoops you have to jump through, the nested hoops, to try and make your current computer pretend to be a computer from 30 years ago, turned out to be not enough. The game wasn't fun enough to justify all that effort. So it was a lot easier to track down the original hardware, keep it on my shelf in the basement, and when I feel like playing it, fire it up and play for a few hours and then get rid of it and put it back in the basement. So it probably can be done, but it's just a matter of with what amount of effort.
There's a website called ppc.real.
Okay.
No. There's a PPC Real online is the thing you look up, and it takes you to a website.
Okay.
And it seems to run a PowerPC on your machine. Again, I know nothing about it. It could be
There's also
riddled with
there are some browser-based emulators that attempt to emulate original macOS in a browser, which work to a degree. I think getting those to work with certain pieces of software can be tricky. The emulation game and the old school gaming gets trickier every year. Sometimes the tools make a significant jump and you end up with, oh, I can run this in my browser. Right. Yeah. Infinite Macintosh.
Infinite Mac.org. Yeah.
It's so sometimes there are these leaps that are made that become really impressive, but just the old school way of installing an emulator, then finding an OS. Oh, now you've got to find a disk image of that. Oh, it needs to be in the ISO format, not in the DMG format. And then this PPC was big endian and it PowerPC and Intel is not, and it was
if it's not one hoop, it's another.
It's you can get through it, but it's going to be a marathon, not a sprint.
Yep. And you're right. It's often easy. One of the interesting things is that there's a whole community of people who use Raspberry Pis to emulate older Windows machines.
Yeah.
So they can run old Windows games.
Okay.
And old Steam games and a couple of other things. But I haven't seen that same community for Mac games.
Right. I've seen it for old arcade games.
Right.
So Pac-Man, Space Invaders, Frogger, Dig Dug, that kind of thing.
Right.
That's very common. Trying to run specialized hardware from 30 years ago to run a niche of a niche of a niche gets trickier because there are fewer other people who are also attempting the same thing to draw upon as resources.
Right.
So it's doable, but man, that's a mountain to climb.
Yep. I was tempted this week to load Doom.
Okay.
Onto my new computer because I've got a hardware accelerated graphics card.
Okay.
So it would be very sexy.
Yes.
Also, probably so fast I couldn't deal with it.
Right. It would just be a blur.
But I thought that would be kind of interesting.
Oh, man.
Just to give it a shot.
See right. What happens. See what happens. You can run it on everything else.
Right. Exactly right. But yeah, there's whole communities showing you how to run games on Raspberry Pis because Raspberry Pis are inexpensive.
Yeah.
You can buy them pretty inexpensively. All right. We're going to take a quick break, but we will be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Dennis Worster, me, Nick Francesco, and you. What a perfect time to head on over to jazz901.org and hit that big red donate now button and make that pledge. While you do that, we'll be right here waiting to come back in just a couple of minutes. We'll race you back on Jazz 90.1.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more sound bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Dennis Worster.
And at 33 minutes after the hour, the people in the YouTube stream can actually hear us now.
Yay!
So it's very exciting.
Yes. You know, one of these days, I'm going to have to come to rehearsal and get all this stuff figured out.
Look, if you don't show up for rehearsal, you're sitting in your 57 Chevy.
Yeah, yeah. Taking a draw on my Pall Mall.
Taking a draw on the Pall Malls, just and a bottle of Jack Daniels Red.
It's entirely my fault because Steve Ray, the glorious Steve Ray, did indeed give me an enumerated list of things to do and in what order. And, you know, it really helps if you read the instructions.
And then follow them.
And you get tremendously more successful results. So, yes, read the directions, kids. Listen to your parents and read the directions.
Right. RTFM, read the manual first.
Read the fine manual.
Read that fabulous manual.
Right. All right. Do we want to know about miscellaneous news or Google news?
Google.
Google. Surprise me.
Okay, Google it is. Some Google Pixel users have found that the at-a-glance widget has been showing outdated weather forecasts, but Google said in a statement that it's addressing the issue. Apparently, the current temperature is fairly accurate, but the expected high-low forecast hasn't been correct in the past week.
Oh, no.
You should talk.
I got my own problems.
You got your own problems.
It's been one of those days, man.
The locks.
14th.
Who's talking to me?
Say again?
Oh, my phone is talking to me for some reason.
Are you there, Kyle? It's me, Nick.
The lock screen shows the weather for the current location, but in the morning it shows yesterday's forecast as the temperature today in the evening.
Okay.
In the evening it shows today's forecast as the weather tomorrow. Google released its latest and greatest Gemini AI model last week, speaking of AI. But it was only made available by paying subscribers. Google then moved with uncharacteristic speed to release Gemini 2.5 Pro Experimental for free users, too. The next time you check in with Gemini, you can access most of the new AI's features without a Gemini Advanced subscription. This isn't a Gemini 2.5 free-for-all. Google still wants to sell people on paid Gemini subscriptions, so you can only use the new model with rate limits. Again, Google has not clearly described the limits. You won't know where you stand until Gemini shuts you down for exceeding the limit. Ugh. Of course, if you're one of the majority who doesn't trust AI, you won't be using this anyway. Acer just introduced new Chromebooks aimed at the education market at BETT 2025.
Okay.
Mostly, this was standard fare, but there's one little addition to Acer's latest offering that's quite interesting this time around in the form of a tablet, the Acer Chromebook Tab 311. It has a 10.95-inch display. Not 11 inches.
Oh, no. What are we supposed to do?
Exactly. You can add a keyboard, kickstand, and a garaged USI stylus. That's the Universal Stylus Initiative.
Oh.
USI. It'll be available in North America in Q2. Would you buy a Chromebook, a Chrome OS tablet? Why or why not? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299, toll-free 800-790-0415.
Right. Well, to borrow, there's a technology author, Andy Inako, that I've been following for decades, and he puts it really well when he says, when he's considering a new purchase or a new technology, he says he wants to have technology that either creates an opportunity or solves a problem. And I'm trying to figure out what opportunities would a tablet like that create.
Well, it solves a problem.
Okay.
Which is you have a lightweight, inexpensive device to take around instead of your big, heavy,
sure,
everyday machine.
Right.
Also, if it gets lost or stolen, you're out at a lot less of a problem.
Fewer dollars. Yeah.
Well, not only fewer dollars, but all your stuff is on your main machine.
Because it's on, yeah.
Right?
Right.
And I know a lot of students who have a large laptop or a desktop in their dorm room.
Yeah.
And take a Chromebook to class.
Because
all you're doing is taking notes.
Mm-hmm.
Or sitting in the back watching Facebook or playing a game online.
And I still think there's a lot to be said for taking notes by putting a pen to paper. I think the ability to draw diagrams, to put arrows in boxes, and to do things that are just not as easy to do when you've got an insertion point that you're pushing to the right as you type things.
Yep.
That there's still a lot of value in that, and that gets lost, I think, when you're just taking notes into a text doc.
Yep. Back in the day, when I could type 120 words a minute before the arthritis set in, I did almost all of my stuff for a long time in typing.
Okay.
Then I found Zernal X. It's journal with an X instead of a J.
Okay.
And it did. It was a tablet thing that let you. It's now Zernal Plus Plus.
I see.
And it let you do drawing on the screen, taking handwritten notes. I believe, and I could be conflating this with something else, but I believe
open
it
source.
Then would let you. It would then turn it into text.
Oh, okay. Do
handwriting recognition. And it just did everything. And I used Zernal for 150 years. I fell in love with it. I used it for everything. But now, at the moment, I don't have a tablet.
Right.
That I'm using, so I don't have Zernal.
Zernal, okay, according to Wikipedia, Zernal is an open source tool for annotating PDF files. It supports pen, mouse, and keyboard input. It and the related Zernal++ are commonly used for adding annotations and electronic signatures to PDF files.
Right, that's how I originally got it.
But if your PDF was a sheet of lined paper,
and that's exactly right,
and you started writing on top of it, then you could certainly do that.
And that is exactly right. And I took notes for years on that.
Interesting.
All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is James from Rochester, New York. What's up, James?
Oh, hi, Nick. I got a question for you guys about Twitter or X.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, that a long time ago, well, like about a year ago, I used to get all my posts there from the people that I'm following.
Right.
Have they changed? Because I get all these, what do you call them, messages or tweets on my thing of all the people that I am not following anymore. They just throw things at me, like school kids fighting or whatever.
Well, it's two things going on there, James. One is the algorithm has changed. So you'd see fewer of the people you followed. The other thing is that it's possible that many of the people you followed have left X.
Yeah, maybe.
That gets into politics and Elon Musk and all of that. But the reality is that a huge number of very popular Twitter people, when it turned into X, left it. And went generally to Blue Sky, but also to a couple of others. Now, what that leads us to is a little self-promotion. Wednesday night at 7 p.m., I will be giving a talk on Twitter alternatives at the Apple CIDR meeting.
Fabulous.
It's going to be online.
Okay.
So you don't even have to put on pants.
Okay.
applecider.org, I'm sure, will tell you where to go and how to find it.
Right, applecider.org will have the link to the Google Meet.
Okay.
Hey, but about your specific question, the other thing that X did about a year ago, well, probably a little more, because they wanted to do a similar thing to what TikTok was doing, they have a default feed that's called the For You feed, and that is the one that you see when you first start up the app, and it's much like you were describing. It is a little bit of people you actually subscribe to that you're following, but it's also a whole bunch of ads and other places based on things that X thinks you might like. And probably X doesn't know you as well as they think they do. So what I can recommend is at the top of the X application, there's the For... I'm showing this to Nick here. There's the For You feed, and then there's also the Following feed. Mm-hmm. And if you tap over to the Following feed, then you get the list of the results from all the people that you've actually chosen to follow. The problem is that X, every time you start it up, doesn't just give you the Following feed, which is what you and I would really prefer, but they kick you back over to the For You feed. And that's
so you have to select it each time.
You have to select it each time, and it's
Yeah,
right? Yeah, because they put a lot of garbage.
No, it's true.
Yeah, absolutely. And so the click goal on over to the Following feed, and you'll be good.
Right. Yeah. The goal is just to keep you scrolling and scrolling and scrolling.
How about like, are they trying to get money like up? Pay to get it back to, or I don't need to pay anything.
They do have a X Premium site that allows you to get verified, and you can get paid to post if you've got enough followers, and you get the additional. They don't interrupt the videos that you're watching with ads, and that's $10 a month or so. The I don't know if that gives you the ability to show a default of your own following, but it's...
Yeah, well, I just clicked on what you just said, the For You and the Following, and that's much better.
Okay, good.
They've been throwing, like, all garbage on there.
Yeah, it's true.
There's a lot of everything on X. And so you're going to get a lot of garbage in with the good stuff too. But if you stick with who you're following, you'll be better off.
Yeah, are they selling that? Selling X?
It doesn't seem to be so far. The board of directors of X are very upset with Elon Musk that he's essentially abandoned the company. But we'll see what happens in the future. Right now, there doesn't seem to be any movement to sell.
Yeah, does Dorsey have anything to do with it anymore?
No, not anymore. He went and started Blue Sky, so he's gone from there.
Well, thank you very much. That's a big help because it was driving me crazy. Thank you.
Yeah. All right, you're welcome.
No, thanks
have fun.
Calling.
Bye-bye.
All right, see you next time.
That's us. We're here to help you. We're here to make your life easier. We're here to simplify what you do and see and play with.
Yep. So, and get rid of the crud and get back to the love.
Get rid of the crud, get back to the love. I like it. So you can help us by giving us a little love and no crud by heading on over to jazz901.org. Click on that big red Donate Now button and make your donation, make your pledge. And again, let me remind you that this coming Wednesday, I will be giving a talk at Apple Cider on Twitter or X if you prefer alternatives. And the way to join is to just head on over to applecider.org, C-I-D-E-R, apple cider, like the drink, .org, and you will see a Google Meet link that you can just click on Wednesday night at 7 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And I will be giving that talk. I've been writing it for much of the week.
Okay.
And you don't want to give it all away, but...
Right.
I'm going to talk about three major alternatives.
There are it used to be easy because Twitter was kind of the only game in town, and if you wanted to be on a microblogging service or if you wanted to hear what others had to say, that was the place to go. And easy to join. It was easy to see what you wanted. And in general, everything kind of got out of your way.
Yep.
But now this environment has become fragmented.
Yep.
So it's there are alternatives, people that really wanted to come up with ways to moderate things so that the speech was appropriate for certain audiences, and different ideas about how to do that. And I think we're seeing that in different models and different communities. So
I was counting
very
up
interesting.
The Twitter alternatives that exist.
Yeah.
I stopped counting at like 26.
Okay.
Right. I mean, so there is a certain amount of fragmentation.
For sure.
And, you know, there's one that many of the people I used to follow have gone over to. There's another one where I get much more engagement than the others.
Right.
So, you know, you're on multiple ones now.
Right.
For various reasons. So
the things that I notice are, and I don't remember if this is Blue Sky or if it's Threads or somewhere else, I notice that, and maybe I'm just not following enough people, there are posts that come up that all end in question marks. It's like, hey, what was your favorite band to listen to in high school?
Oh, yeah, all this stuff.
And it's like sort of like manufactured.
That's on Threads. I don't really follow Threads anymore.
And people respond to it and talk about it, and then it starts a conversation. But it's all these sort of conversation starter threads
that I'm pretty sure
were bots.
Yep, exactly right. I don't spend much time on Threads. I'm active on Blue Sky and Counter Social and Mastodon.
Right.
But not so much.
They're trying to get conversations started, trying to get people comfortable being there and experience happy feelings when they're there.
And that's legitimate. I get that.
Oh, for sure.
I do. I get that. But it's not.
But that's sort of like, that's the alternative to like having a blank screen, just because nobody's said anything, so there's nothing to say.
Right. and it smells of desperation.
A little bit.
You know?
A little bit.
There's nobody on here.
A bit inauthentic, yeah.
Right. Whereas I see lots of people on Blue Sky. I see lots of people on Counter Social. I see lots of people on Mastodon.
Yeah.
So I don't, you know, I don't need to follow Threads. I certainly don't follow X anymore. But we'll talk about all of that on Wednesday. I'm not going to give you enough to make you not come on Wednesday. You'll be sitting in your own home with a Google Meet. You don't even have to put pants on.
That's true. God knows
I won't.
Won't cost you a dime either.
And it won't cost you a dime. So join us Wednesday night. It's an apple cider meeting. Yes, they'll talk about some Apple stuff. Hold your nose. We'll get past it and talk about the various alternatives to various things. And you know what? Even if you hang out with the Apple folks waiting for me to talk, you'll learn some stuff. And you might find that Macs aren't quite as nasty as you thought they were.
Oh, come on.
Well, I'm trying to be polite. They're hosting me. I'm trying to be polite.
Yes. Don't bite the hand and such.
Yeah. Be nice to your audience. Exactly. Yeah.
Well, you can tell them about Zernal, and there is a Mac OS installation for that.
Yep.
Which makes me wonder if it'll run on an iPad.
I don't know. If there's an iOS installation, it will.
I'll have to play with that later today.
Yeah, I really do like Zernal a lot. It's very fast, and it's very convenient.
Interesting.
And I ran it for many. I've still got 1,500 journal files.
Okay.
That I'm just not looking at because I don't do that anymore.
Right.
You know, I used to take all my meeting notes in Zernal.
So switching gears, one of the things I'm trying to get into is automating my house. Specifically, I want to be able to, when I'm headed to the bedroom to go to bed at night, I want to be able to tell the house to just, you know, close up shop. I want it to check and see if the garage door is open, and if it is, I want it to close it. I want, if the garage light is on, I want it to turn the light off. I want to make sure all the basement lights are turned off. Just all the stuff that I might not have thought of. I just want it to get all shut down. And so that's one of the things I'm looking at now. I've got a garage door opener that has the capability to do this, but I've not integrated it into my environment. And I do have Alaska at home, at least for now. Of course, they've got news where Amazon has got a new service.
Apparently. Amazon Alaska Plus.
Okay.
And it's here's a surprise. Are you sitting down?
Okay.
It's AI.
What?
Unbelievable.
Still?
Yeah. More.
More?
More AI. You don't have enough AI in your AI, so here's some AI.
Yeah. Squirt that in your eye.
Right. That's rolling out to people right now. I don't see in any of the announcements where you have to have a new device.
Okay.
Which shocks me.
That does shock me as well. Because my stuff is getting older, and I presume that it wouldn't be compatible.
For right now.
Well, but the reality is that almost nothing actually happens in your Alaska device.
That's true. Well, and that's what Apple is trying to do the opposite, right? They want to try and do as much as they can on your local device, and then only borrow resources from their own encrypted servers if necessary.
Right. And Google has been doing the same. But they also run into that reality that and Apple's never had a problem saying, throw your stuff out. It's no good anymore.
Well, yeah.
Whereas, you know, Google and everybody else has kind of had a problem saying that.
Backward compatibility is very important to the PC industry, to Linux, to Android in general.
Right.
I would say Apple's gotten a lot better because they started getting flack from environmental groups.
Well, and that's the big thing. And you end up with a bunch of crap in the you know,
e-waste
forever
stuff.
Metals and stuff.
Right.
And it's a real problem. So
they've gone back, they've done some design. They're also making it so that the OS runs on older equipment better. So in the past, you might have a machine that could run for 5 to 6 years on latest OS. And then after that, ooh, it was kind of a hard shutoff. But now we're seeing stuff extend into 7 into 8 years, which is interesting from a number of perspectives. It allows more machines to be on the latest OS and keep getting the latest security updates, which are really, really important.
Well, I hope they fix the thermal paste.
It's getting better.
Yeah.
And the performance is getting really, really good, especially the performance per watt. The efficiency is very good. So I'm optimistic. But yeah, the you're right. The Alaska stuff, a lot of their processing is all happening in the cloud, and then they're spitting back things for the magic person in the box to yell back to you.
Right. So they can easily update everybody to Alaska Plus,
right,
without a problem. So we'll see what happens. You know, right now, 90% apparently of people who own one use it to ask what the weather's going to be like. And that's pretty much it.
I would say I use it for the weather. You know, when I'm standing in front of the closet and be like, what do I need to wear today? What are we, short sleeves, long sleeve, pants, shorts, what are we doing?
Yep.
Do I need...
And then when you're going out the door...
Do I need my coat?
Yep.
Or do I just need a jacket? Or can I just do it with a heavy sweatshirt or a sweater? Then I would say the other thing I do is in the kitchen setting timers for
things. Yes.
Like, put something in the oven. Okay,
yeah,
Alaska.
That's the other thing. Yep.
Timer for 18 minutes. And then if I'm doing two different things, I got a timer for this thing and a timer for that thing. It does multiple timers really, really well.
Yeah, it does that.
So I would say 80% of what I do is probably timers and weather.
What I like about timers is you can tell it what the timer is for, which you cannot do on Google.
Oh, yes, right. You can say, set me a pizza timer for 20 minutes.
Right.
Set me
Or you can say, set me a timer for 20 minutes. It'll say, what's the timer for?
Right.
And you say, pizza.
Uh-huh.
And then when it goes off, it says pizza.
Pizza timer is done. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. That is a unique feature that I haven't seen a lot of other
tools I do like that.
I don't know if they've got a patent on it or whatever, but
yeah, right.
That's a big deal.
That's a big deal to me. That you know, that is the one thing I really like much more on Amazon than I do. The way you set timers and stuff on Amazon is better.
The other thing we do is if we're watching TV and we see, like, an old TV show, and a celebrity is on it, and we say, like, you can ask it, like, how tall is that celebrity? Or how old are they now? And it will come back with a number that we presume is correct.
Yep.
I have no way to prove it either way. So just miscellaneous general information, or convert, you know, I'll be watching some Australian show where they're talking about reviewing cars, and they say, oh, this car makes 200 kilowatts. And I'm like, great.
Right.
What is that in, you know, in freedom units?
Right.
How many horsepower is that? And I can ask Alexa, and it will handle those things.
Yeah.
Or to convert, you know, with all of the political turmoil at the moment, I'm wondering what the exchange rate is for, like, Canadian dollars in case I want to take a vacation or to go to Europe, you know, and getting a sense of how many euros or Canadian dollars can I get.
Right.
Things like that.
And those are... Those are useful to Amazon.
Yeah.
But not what they really want.
No, But of course, they do. They throw a notification, a little green ring, and they said, "Oh yeah." And I said, "Read the notification." It says, "Well, a company that you follow,
yeah.
it has a new thing out. That would you like me to put it in your cart?" And I'm like, "Calm down."
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think so.
You haven't ordered cat food in a while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you love to know about? Wouldn't you love to get the sports scores in the morning? They're like, no, I don't.
Yeah, because you can set the automations. I forget what they call them. I don't think they call them automations. But I used to listen to the news, and then there was a tech service that I listened to.
Okay.
It was all just headlines. I think it was called Daily Tech Headlines. They've gone dark.
Mm.
They still exist, just not on Alexa.
Right.
So I'm trying to find a replacement. Okay. I'm not happy with any of them.
Yeah. There's TechMeme Drive Home podcast that's sort of like 15 minutes of just what happened
day. I want 15 seconds. I want 2 minutes.
You want tight.
I want headlines.
Okay.
That's all I want. All right. That music tells us we are done for another week, but you're not done because some of you have not gone over and donated. That's your job.
Yeah.
That is job one right now. Head on over to jazz901.org. Hit that big red donate button and make that pledge. And what that does is it means we're more likely to see you next week with a whole lot more of the longest running computer show in the known universe. A whole lot more Dave Enright, a whole lot more Dennis Worster.
That's
next
true.
Week.
I'm going to be here and I will make sure to have the audio working correctly.
He will
for
do
our
that.
Live streams.
I'm Nick Francesco. We will see you in just 106. Do one another, will you? Now you can turn it off.